I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me the New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I want to preach today on the local church. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have already felt, been stirred, Lord. Thank you for that. I pray, Lord, now as we look into thy word, that you'll help us. Help us to hear from thee. I can stand up and in the energy of the flesh do a lot of things, but Lord, I pray not for the energy of the flesh, but for the power of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, I would be hidden behind the cross in the day that we would truly hear what you're saying to us. I'm so weak in my abilities, but Lord, I know that thou art great. And I'm asking you to do something great in our midst, in our lives. May we hear from thee and not leave it here, but Lord, take it with us. May our lives be changed. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We see in these verses and many around this, the first century church. We've talked many times about the local church around here. The definition of it, we've talked about, simple definition, is a group of baptized believers, a local body of baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. That's what we're about, isn't it? Reaching the world with the gospel. And we need to realize that the local church is something that needs to be a part of people's lives. I want us to look at the local church in our day, and I want us to see its importance in your life and in others, and its influence in your life, and its instruction for your life. The local church is a gift from God to us. And this place that we have is just a building. But you're the church. I am the church. It's a local body of baptized believers. It's not a local building. It's a body of baptized believers. It's you and me. We make up this church. In other words, if this building were to be destroyed, the church could go on. Because the church is not made up of a building. It's made up of a people. And so when we begin to think about the church and have an understanding of what the church is and what the church is all about, we need to look at certain things about it. And I want to look at three things about the local church. First of all, I want you to see it's people. It's people. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So the Bible teaches us that the local church is made up of a saved church membership. The people of the church are people that are saved. You must be born again. I know I preached on that last week, but the Bible teaches us that in order for you to be a part of the church, you have to be born again. You have to be saved. The Bible says, "They that gladly received His word," in other words, they were saved, they were baptized. And that was an ordinance given to the local church. It's not a ministerial ordinance. It's not an associational ordinance. It's not a denominational ordinance. It's a local church ordinance that God has given to us. And churches that allow people to join, even though they're not saved, is going against the teaching of God's Word. As a matter of fact, they're also giving a false security to those that they allow to come in and be a part of the church. In order for you to be a member of East Lyle Avenue Baptist Church, you must give a good profession of your faith. In other words, you must give a clear testimony that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the way it is. That's what the local church is all about. Why is it so important? Because it is our responsibility to be sure people are on their way to heaven. Now, anybody can walk through the doors of this church. The worst of sinners can come through, can sit down, can listen. They can come Sunday morning, they can come Sunday night, they can come Wednesday night, they can come for years, but they cannot be a member of this local church until they have been saved. Everybody's welcome. But in all honesty, the church is an exclusive membership. You have to be born again to be a part of it. God's people are the greatest people. God's people are a people that's been redeemed. God's people are a people that have been regenerated. God's people are a people that have been set apart from this world and promised a home up in heaven. That's the people of the local church. So we see the local church, we see its people. Then I want you to see, number two, its purpose. Its purpose. The Bible says, in verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The purpose of the local church is to reach people with the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why when God saved us, He didn't bring us on to heaven right then, so we could stay here and help others to know Him. Now, I want you to get a better understanding of what the local church is, being a people instead of a building. Do you realize this church can't tell anybody about Jesus? As far as this building can't tell anybody about Jesus. People may look at it and associate it with Jesus, but it can't speak. It just exists. This building don't change people's lives, but the church does. You understand what I'm saying? So many people, they put their love in a building and they think, boy, that building, you know, that's my church. Your church is the people in that building. It's not the building. Five times the Great Commission is given to us in the New Testament. It's given to us in all the Gospels. It's given twice on the day of the resurrection. One time in that 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then two times on the day of the ascension. The first time we see it in chronological order would be in the Gospel of John, chapter number 29. After the resurrection, the disciples are in an upper room, and Thomas isn't there, and of course Judas isn't there, but they're there gathered in an upper room, and they're very fearful. Christ died, but news has spread. He's not in the grave. He comes into an upper room, this upper room where they're all gathered, and He said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." We could go on over to the book of Luke, chapter number 24, the same day, later in the day, in the evening, in verses 46 through 48, on that same day of His resurrection, later in the day, He says, "Ye are witnesses of these things." Sometime in the midst of that day after the resurrection, the day of the resurrection and the day of His ascension, in that 40 days that's there, we find what He said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, verse 19 and 20, when He says, "Go ye therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Go and lo. Go, and lo, I'll be with you. The Great Commission. That's the purpose of the church. We see on the day of His ascension, in the Gospel of Mark, when He says in chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then, just before He ascended back up into the heavens, the book of Acts, chapter number 1, on this day of His ascension, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he gave them this commission. If you'll notice in the Bible, in the New Testament, most of the books have an ending, especially after the Gospels, they'll have an ending. They'll have a closing of the letter. But if you'll find in the book of Acts, there is no ending. We are the continuation of the book of Acts. In other words, what Christ started is still continuing today. We're the continuation. In other words, we are to be continuing on what God has commanded. We are to tell how Jesus died for our sins, how that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day. And the early church, through many persecutions, took the gospel to the world. You were to go back and study the early days of America. Many left people and other places to come here to be able to have the freedom to worship and to serve the Lord. And the government from England tried to prohibit that freedom and to have the church be a product of the state or to be run by the state. And Baptist people fought for individual soul liberty. They took their stand because they realized everybody had the right to choose whether they wanted to put their faith in Christ, to choose the place of worship. They fought for this. They were persecuted in America, put to death in many instances because of their stand against infant baptism, by the way, which is never taught in the Bible. Never is taught. It's coercion. It's forced. There's no choice in that. But infant baptism is a tool of the devil in making people believe that they're going to heaven. People say they want to christen their babies. No, you want to raise your babies in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and pray that the day comes when they come to an understanding of their need that they'll put their faith in Jesus Christ. Then after they're saved, they can be baptized. Read it. It's in the book. Our purpose is to stand for the truth. Scriptural baptism always follows conversion. And the purpose of the church is to teach and to preach the truth of God's Word. It's not popular. The government in early America tried to control the church. But thank God Baptists stood and said, you know, government needs to stay out of the lives of people except for in certain instances. Regulate, 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 you know. If you go and look, a lot of the early wars in America were because of the stand of Christians. Oh yeah, there were battles going on all the time. Revolutionary War was a result of much of these differences of opinion. And now, while Christianity has taken the background in America, I want you to know it's what our forefathers fought for. So that we could take the gospel and tell people about Jesus. In early America, you could only be married by the Church of England, the Anglican Church, or the Episcopalian Church. And then they allowed the dissenters, they called them the Presbyterians, they called them dissenters to come in. And hey, you could get married by them, but Baptists, they were just hooligans, you know? Nobody liked them. You want to know why they didn't like them? Because they stood up and they preached what thus saith the Lord. They said there's only one way to heaven, that's through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's only one way you can be a part of the church, and that is you must be born again. They didn't like that. See, that's been the purpose of the church all along. Is to tell people the truth, to preach and teach the truth of God's Word. So we see its people to save church membership. We see its purpose. But then I want you to see its place. The place of the local church. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So many people do not understand the importance of the local church. I want you to see, first of all, its importance in the community. In the community. The greatest influence in any community ought to be a local New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. It's to be as a bright light shining in a dark, dark world. But in too many communities and in too many cities and in too many countries, the lights are going out. The true church is becoming a social gathering with the social gospel. The true New Testament church will be a haven of truth and a place that has the power of God. Say, preacher, how in the world do you know that it's becoming a social place and a social gospel? Because a lot of places that call themselves church, they'll get in there and they'll sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and they'll praise the Lord, and they'll do all kinds of things, and then they'll go out and live like the devil Monday through Saturday, and then come in again and put on their royal robe on Sundays, and they'll act like they're holier than everybody else. I want you to know that Christianity is a 24/7, 7-day-a-week life that we live. It's social when people can go to a church and never be condemned for the sin, condemned for the wrong, condemned because of the sin in their life. By the way, that sin separates us from God. Even when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have sin in our life, it separates us from the fellowship that God wants to have with us. We can't lose our relationship, but friends, we can lose our fellowship. And in the community, there needs to be places that are preaching and teaching these things. That's telling the truth. Friends, we got to take our stand. We need to realize the importance of the local church in the community. We need to realize that in the community, there needs to be a place where the truth is given. Where people can't come in and have a little bit of praise, have their little bit of praise and a little bit of time and a little bit of hand clapping and a little bit of entertainment. But where somebody will stand up and preach what thus saith the Lord. Let the world know that if they don't trust Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. And not only do we see the place of the local church in the community, I want you to see the place in the Christian's life. The Bible says they continue in daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The local church should be one of the most important places in the life of a believer, of a Christian. The influence ought to be real in the Christian family. But sadly, though, many Christians, they don't put the local church in the proper place in their life. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse 24 and 25, "Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love, to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I'm convinced that if God has given you the health and God has given you the ability, you should be at every service possible. Every service. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. People say that they love God and they want His blessings on their life, and they say it with their lips, but they don't show it with their lives, because Jesus, the Bible says Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. And we say that we love the church and we think we're doing it justice just by coming on a Sunday morning every now and then. Church ought to have the right place in your life. Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. Remember, you're not coming to a building, you're coming to a body. And this body needs you. This body desires you. My dad lost his middle finger back years ago. And I tell you, it's funny now. He'll reach out to grab something, and it'll go right through his hand. You know what he says? "Boy, I missed that finger." And some of you may not have a place of prominence. You may not, you know, you may think, well, you know, it's not important if I'm there, if I'm not there. You may feel like you're just a little toe on the body. But I want you to know you're important to that body. And when you're missing, we miss you. The church ought to have the right place. People want positions in churches, and they won't come back after Sunday morning service. I'll never forget. I had a fella in a church that I pastored. He wanted to be a deacon. Wanted to be a deacon. What fool would want to be a deacon, you know? They get all the problems. I've never understood that. It's not their responsibility to get all the problems, but they get them all, you know. People always call them. Wanted to be a deacon. He'd come every Sunday morning. But that's it. I said, you're not qualified to be a deacon. Well, why not? And he went through what he said, his list of qualifications. I said, you're not even faithful to the house of God. I said, if I have a deacon, I want somebody that's going to be there. I want somebody that I can rely on. Somebody that, if something happens, I get sick, they're going to have to take my place in the pulpit, maybe. I'm preaching good now. You know? People want to be Sunday school teachers and they wanna say, I want to be a leader, but then they can only find, I'm gonna tell you, a leader is there. Local church needs revival among its own people. So many excuses. We hear them, don't we? It's hard preaching. I'm clearing off a spot. It's the only day I have off. I've heard that so many times. I'm sorry. But it's the day that's been set aside to worship our Savior. And if you really love Him, you'll be here. I'm tired on Wednesdays. So is everybody that comes. Everybody that's here is tired on Wednesday. But I'm going to tell you something. They're not near as tired when they leave as they are when they got here. You would think they'd be more tired. But you come. You'll find out. Choir gets up there and they start. We treat Wednesdays just like we treat Sundays. We have a choir. We have specials. I mean, we get with it. We don't change it. You know? It's just as important. I come in, I still have my suit and tie on Wednesday nights and wearing socks. Amen. Nobody wants to see my old ugly ankles. I remember this. I pastored a church, had a lot of young families in it. I always dealt with them ball games on Sundays. You know, their kids, all my kids up there played ball. We had athletes in the church, you know. We had one of those churches. I mean, all them kids could play ball. They were good, baseball and football and all this. And they'd get on them traveling teams. And you know when traveling teams play? Weekends. And I told them, I preach this. I've not had that problem here. We don't have athletes here, I guess. But anyway. I remember getting up and preaching and said, if you really love your kids, you'll teach them that the house of God is more important than a ball field. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I got in so much trouble over that stuff. So the next Sunday, you know what I'd do? I'd get up and I'd say it again. You say, you're just trying to be... No, I wanted them to understand that I was trying to help them to teach their children something. Amen. See, a parent has the responsibility of teaching the children the place of the local church. Amen. And I have the responsibility of teaching you the place of the local church in your life. Now, people don't like to hear it. People don't listen to me most of the time when I get to preach on local church. They say, well, that's what all them preachers do. They get up and say, you ought to be here all the time. And yeah, you're right. But I'm just preaching what the Bible says. Now, that's not because I hate you. It's because I love you. You know, I found out one thing. You tell the truth to people you love. But you refrain from the truth to people that you don't care as much about, right? Because you think, well, what difference does it make anyway? But see, to me, it makes a difference. Because I care about you. Now, I don't dwell on this all the time. But I want to tell you something. It's tough to have a great Sunday morning service and come back on Sunday night and the choir be up here and have 10 or 15 people sitting out in the auditorium. It ought not be that way. And see, I could wait till Sunday night and preach this, but I won't catch you then. So anyway, that was mean. Really, the preacher should never have to beg people to come back. The place of the local church should be more important than that to the believer. So we've seen the people. We've seen the purpose. We've seen the place. I have other things I could say. But I want you to understand the local church is something that God, it's a gift that God's given to us. And we ought to love it the way that Christ loved it. How much did He love it? He gave Himself for it. Won't you give yourself for it? You know, if God's given you the strength and the ability, just determine, you know, I know I'm busy. I know I've got a lot to do. But I want to honor the church the way that Christ honored the church. I'm part of its people. I'm saved. I follow the Lord and Believer's Baptism. As a matter of fact, I've united. I've joined that church. I've been added to. The Lord added to the church daily session. I've been added to this local church. I'm part of it. I want to help fulfill its purpose. And by the way, when you are here, it helps fulfill the purpose because people come by on a Sunday night and they say, man, look at that parking lot. Come on Wednesday. Look at that. That church has people there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There must be something going on there. Well, there is. Its place. We've seen its place. If local church does not have the right place, you're going to miss out on, number one, its importance. Number two, you're going to miss out on its influence. And number three, you're going to miss out on its instruction. And we need all of them. We need all of them. I don't get up here just to hear myself blow, you know? I've never stood up here to preach just to hear myself speak. And I've never stood up here to preach or to teach anything besides God's Word. Never. I've never preached one message that did not come from the Bible. There's others that could do a better job of it. I know that. More eloquent, more learned. But every time you've come into this place and I've stood to preach, you've had the Bible given. And you need it. I need it. We need that instruction. We need that influence. And when do you realize its importance? So as we think about the local church, I want you to consider this. Number one, are you saved? If not, the Lord Jesus died for you, and He desires you to be saved and to be baptized and to join the local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. If you're here and you say, I'm saved, preacher, are you helping in the purpose of taking and supporting the gospel being spread? Number three, does the local church have the proper place in your life? Jody and I were talking the other night. Our life is this church. We have two kids, wonderful kids. Thank God for them. They're our life, but this church is our life. Everything we do revolves around this church. You say, well, that's because you're the pastor. No, it's because I'm a member of this church. I was saved August 26, 1985. Follow the Lord and Believer's Baptism. I was already a member of a church. I just unsaved. You know, I made a profession of faith. I convinced everybody I was saved. When I got saved, I began to realize the church had a place in my life. And starting when I got saved, the church began to have the right place. And ever since I've been saved, my life has revolved around the work of the church. I worked a job. I'd work 12-hour shifts. Many times I would go in at 6:30 on Saturday night and get off 6:30 on Sunday morning, come home and sleep an hour or two, and then I would get up and I would go to church and come back and I would sleep an hour or two, and then I'd have to miss church on Sunday night because I had to work. But I wanted to be there. Because my life, why did my life revolve around the church? Is the church so important? No, it's not the most important thing that you'll live. Your salvation is the most important thing that you'll have. But the church is important in the fact that Jesus did love it and He did give Himself for it. And I figure if He put that much emphasis on it, it ought to be emphasized in my life too. The church. See, I need you here. You need each other here. Cut one of your members off. And see how you survive without it. I took the little tip end of my finger off the other day. Just a little old piece. I thought I was going to die. Man, it hurt so bad. And that's been over a week ago, and I still, if I touch something with that thing, it thing, it hurts. It's deep, you know? I had that thing wrapped up. That little old member. Just that little old piece of that member. It seems so inadequate just to look at it. But when it gets hurt, I was thinking how my body began to work and began to bring it all back together. How good God is that I'm watching this as it starts growing back together. Because my body is starting to work on it. And God's given me things in my body that helps to heal me. You understand what I'm saying? You're needed. The local church needs you. Need you to let the church have the right place to fulfill the purpose, to be a part of its people. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Lord, today I pray that you've spoken to the hearts and lives of people. And Lord Jesus, I pray that if there be one here that does not know their Savior, that this would be the day they put their faith and trust in thee. And I pray for those of us that are saved, that we'd be a people of this church. We'd identify with it, we'd join this place and put our life into it. I pray that we would fulfill the purpose that you left us here to fulfill. And Lord, I pray that the local church would have the right place in our lives. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do in this time of invitation. We give it to thee. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. What?